If you'll open your Bibles to 1 John chapter number 5. I'm going to read in 1 John 5 and then 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Everybody say overcometh. Overcometh. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, starting at verse number 7 through verse 10. Give you a moment. I love hearing those pages turn. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I'm gonna continue reading, but let me just tell you something tonight. God's greatest victory will come when you allow yourself to be broken. Your weakness magnifies his strength. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Praise the Lord. Pastor Callan, would you pray tonight?
Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for your word today, a word that is able to make us free. I pray, God, that you would take that word, let it be alive amongst us, let it touch our hearts, let it get into us today. Anoint your servant, anoint our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, and we'll be quick to give you the praise in the lovely name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And with everything within you, somebody scream hallelujah. I think we can do it a little bit better now, loudly.
Hallelujah!
Oh, hallelujah! Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. I got so many things running through my mind right now. I just want to say that let's lift up our... When you come to church, it's time. You don't want loud just to be loud. But lift up your voices unto the Lord.
Yes, yes.
David said, I cried aloud with my voice, and the Lord heard me.
All right. Yeah.
There is something about you lifting up your voice.
Come on. Uh-huh. Preach it.
This is a little sidebar here, but I got a message I preach on praise. And everywhere the word praise is used, the translators of the Bible, King James, that translated for King James, did us a great disservice. I don't have a time to go into all that and the whys and the wherefores. But they translated the word bless and or all the words that denoted praise into the word praise or bless. And just about every place you look, there's one of two things. You either do a physical expression or you do a verbal expression.
All right.
A ringing of the hands. Yeah. A lifting of the hands.
Yeah.
A throwing out. Hands, a dance, a sing, a shout, lifting up your voice. When we come to church, this is an apostolic church. We need to lift our voices. Hallelujah. Genesis 1 and 1. I'm going to take you through a little trip in the Word of God tonight. Genesis 1 and 1 tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything that God created was good. The Bible doesn't give us a specific time frame. There's a lot of different Bible scholars that, maybe it was 6,000 years and for each, and so it'll be 6,000 years, something, maybe 6 days. I'm not going to get into all that tonight. All I know is that God created the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
And though we don't have a specific time frame of when God made creation, we do know that between verse 1 and the rest of the word of God, the rest of the chapter, the devil rose up against God. We know this because just a couple of chapters into the book of Genesis, we see that the serpent, the devil, masqueraded as a serpent, and as a result of disobedience, Adam and Eve were banished from the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
The devil, let me just tell you something about the devil. He has always tried to come between people and God.
Yes, amen.
There have been battles fought since the beginning of time. It was Lucifer. Isaiah records it that he said, "I will," 5 times. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" By the way, I didn't give you my title. God's greatest victory. We're going to talk about the God whipping up on the devil a little bit tonight.
All right.
Hallelujah. "How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart," here's the first one, "I will ascend into heaven."
Right.
"I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." "I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." He had a will problem. "I will, I will, I will." And that, you know what? Generally, that's our problem. "I will." And when our will gets in the way, God can't work. Jesus referred to this in Luke chapter 10, verse 18. And he said to them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven."
Yeah.
Now, I've got a crazy imagination. But the speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. And when Jesus referred to the devil being cast out, I just had to believe it wasn't a figure of speech. But when he said as lightning, Satan at 186,000 miles per second went through the atmosphere flying. Isn't that an awesome depiction? I don't even believe God just had to kick you. I believe he just had to thump him. And at 186,000 miles per second, Lucifer comes flying through the atmosphere. I always kind of thought that might be why we got Meteor Crater in Arizona. I told you I have a wild imagination. Hallelujah. It's dangerous for me to let my imagination go wild on what God can do.
Yeah.
Amen. There's not much detail, but we understand in these scriptures that God defeated the devil in heaven.
Yes.
But can I tell you tonight, that's not God's greatest victory. As we read the scripture, it becomes evident that the devil has set his sights on anything that God's created. I've already talked about him becoming a serpent. And then we see this downward spiral of humanity. And to the point that the thoughts of men were evil continually. Genesis 6 and 6 and 7 says, "And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." But thank God there was not everybody was wicked.
All right.
But Noah found grace
in the eyes
of the Lord.
Yes.
Noah and his family are saved. And as we journey through scripture, we see that God tries multiple avenues to bring mankind back into reconciliation and to the point that he had in the Garden of Eden. Judges rise, judges fall. Kings rise, kings fall. But man cannot be reconciled back to God.
Right.
But as part of his master plan, God of heaven robes himself in the flesh of a man. Isaiah 9:6 tells us, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Let me ask you who he's talking about. Anybody want to guess?
Come on.
Jesus. And his name, Jesus, shall be called what?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Who's going to be called Wonderful?
Jesus.
Who's going to be called Counselor?
Jesus.
Who's going to be called the Mighty God?
Jesus.
Who's going to be called the Everlasting Father?
Jesus.
Who's going to be called the Prince of Peace?
Jesus.
I'm telling you tonight, there's no such thing as a Trinity. He is the Everlasting Father. He is the Son of God and the Son of Man. Well, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh, help me, Lord. Let me stay on track. I could deviate right here and preach on the oneness of the Godhead. Amen. But I have a message to bring tonight. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, without question. Hallelujah. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was what? I'm not God, but I'm going to try to represent for a moment. The God of glory. The deity of all time. He steps up and he grabs flesh. And he puts flesh on for 33 and a half years and walks among this earth. He was manifest in the flesh. God became flesh. He was justified in the spirit. Seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world. Received up in the glory. Who was received up in the glory?
Jesus.
Wait a second. He just said that was God.
Yeah.
Jesus is God. There's only one God. In the beginning, John 1:1, was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. Who was made flesh? The Word. Who was the Word? God. You can't separate God from His Word. And you can't separate God from His Spirit. Hebrews 4:14-15. I'm in the Word of God. I see some of you following along. I love it. You know why? I'm not preaching my word. I'm preaching out of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All right, let me get back. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then, we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens. Who is it? Somebody say it loudly.
Jesus.
The Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Man, how about on one God? It sure feels good though. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus may have been God in the flesh, but he still had his flesh to contend with. Everything you face, he faced. Everything I face, he faced. But you know what? And all the temptations, he overcame temptation. He overcame sin. Now God defeated the devil in heaven, and now he's defeated the devil on earth. But though this is impressive, it's incredible. Can I tell you tonight that his battle on earth was not as great as victory? Now think about this. God's 2-0. He defeated them in heaven. Had he defeated them on earth. But still not his greatest victory.
All right.
The next battle rages just outside Jerusalem at Calvary and in the nearby tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. We all know that Jesus was crucified for your sins and for mine. He laid in a borrowed tomb for 3 days. And for 3 days, it seemed like the devil had finally secured victory. I want to transport you back in time. Can you imagine being one of Jesus' disciples? Seeing him crucified. Put in a tomb. All our hope was in this man. And he's dead. Remember, I told you, God in flesh. 3 days there was disappointment, belief, disbelief, shaking of faith. But Luke 24:1 tells us, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre bringing spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not of the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass that they were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. I heard one person say, he done left out. Hallelujah. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man, I got to bring to your remembrance, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. When the Apostle John began to write the book of Revelation, he saw who? Jesus Christ sitting upon a throne. Revelation 1:17. And verse 18, you'll notice that this, if you have a red letter edition Bible, these are the words of Jesus are in red. These are the words of Jesus. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead and am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. It was the Apostle Paul that wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:55, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? You know it's awesome? The devil don't even have the key to his own house. Jesus has the keys to hell and of death. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward the heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come again in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. His mission on earth was accomplished, and once again he was victorious. In heaven, God was victorious. In earth, God was victorious. In hell and death, God was victorious.
Right, right, right.
But none of those was his greatest victory.
All right. All right.
Anybody want to know what God's greatest victory is?
Come on now.
John chapter 14. Verses 16 through 19. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you And shall be in me. Everybody make it personal. He shall be in me. Then he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Can I paraphrase it? Because I have been victorious, you're going to be victorious also.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, I've been victorious in heaven. Yes, I've been victorious on earth. Yes, I've been victorious over death and hell. But there's a greater victory for me to win, and that's in you tonight. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Go ahead, I'll let you turn to it. I want you to read right along with me. I want you to know I'm in the book. Everybody say he's in the book.
He's in the book.
Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. Let me stop here for a second. John chapter 3. Verse number 8, after Jesus told Nicodemus that you must be born of water and a spirit, he compares the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, to the wind.
Uh-huh.
Verse 8, it said, the blue wind bloweth to where it listeth, and thou canst tell whence it cometh to where it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Now, I done figured out in Kansas, y'all get a lot of wind.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. I'm just saying, hey, you know what? If I lived within 20, I'd say that's at least 30. I'd go even further. But if I lived 30 minutes or less from this church, this would be my home church. At least 30 minutes.
Least.
You know what? It's worth driving an hour for your salvation.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you, y'all got the best church all around. I think you got the best church in, I don't know if this is considered metropolitan or not, but the Wichita metropolitan area.
Yeah,
that's all right. You can. This is your church.
Yes.
Everybody ought to be hand clapping and foot stomping on that. God said, y'all had a great pastor, and God sent you a great pastor. I know him, so I can take a little liberty in that. But how do you know? Now, can anybody tell me the wind that was blowing today, where it originated from? Can you tell me what the destination was? How do you know it was blowing then? You could what? Yeah. And you could what?
Hear
the sound thereof.
Yeah.
So is everyone is born of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Woo! And the Holy Ghost gets a move.
Yeah.
I begin to feel it.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, amen, begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. We hear the sound thereof.
Yeah.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Woo! I love it. You want to know what God's greatest victory is? It's taking a man by the name of Peter that denied him three times. But he stands up on the day of Pentecost and he proclaims this gospel message to the masses. A man that three times denied and even swore, I don't know him.
Right, right, right.
But God takes that same man and fills him with the Holy Ghost and makes him the mouthpiece, not just to the Jews, but to the Samaritans, to the Gentiles. Every place the gospel was propagated, it was always accompanied by the Apostle Peter.
All right.
Because in Matthew chapter 16, he said, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. If you got your Bibles, follow along with me. I'm almost done, I promise you. But Peter, standing up with the 11. Now, Brother Cowan, if Peter had been wrong, somebody was, whoa, that's not what Jesus said.
Right.
He had 11 other apostles standing shoulder, if I can put it this way, standing shoulder to shoulder with him. He stood up with the 11. I lost my spot. And said unto them, lift up his voice, said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. Shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I'm not going to go through all of it. It'll take a little bit to read. But you can read on down through verse number 36. He preaches this message. He preaches Jesus unto them. He preaches death, burial, and resurrection unto them. And in verse number 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We understand that we're sinners. We understand that we don't have what we need. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, even down to 2024. That afar off wasn't talking about geography. It was talking about direct lineage.
Yeah. Yeah.
As many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I'm preaching the message to you about God's greatest victory. You know what his greatest victory is? When a man, sit down just a moment. When a man or a woman or a young person begins to realize, I'm headed the wrong direction. Lord, help me, Jesus. You may be a good person here tonight. There was a good man in Acts chapter 10. I call him the best lost man in the Bible. The Bible says he was a devout man. He prayed to God always with his house. He gave alms to the church and to the poor. I'd say that's a pretty good man. But there was more for him to do. And they said, and of course he had, I don't have time to go into it, but he had the vision, and Peter dreamed, saw a vision as well. And the apostle Peter went to his house and preached the gospel to him. And the Bible says in Acts 10 and 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, those old righteous Jews, oh, it's only for us. Which is crazy because it had already been powered out in Samaria. They were astonished because it on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know they received the Holy Ghost? Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Woo! his greatest victory was when Cornelius and his household began to praise God and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh man, well, you know, I go to so and so church and I've been baptized. Really, you've been baptized? How were you baptized? There were some other good people in Acts chapter 19.
Yes.
Bible says when Apollos at Corinth, Paul, having passed the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples, said to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" They said, "We hadn't even heard of there being the Holy Ghost." He said unto them, "What then were you baptized?" They said, "Unto John's baptism." Now, Jesus said, "There's no man born of woman greater than John the Baptist." I thought if I'd been baptized by John or in John's baptism, I'd be in pretty good shape. But the Apostle Paul commanded them to be rebaptized. Let me, hey, this is the Word of God. I'm still in the book. If you've been baptized any other way than the name of Jesus Christ, you know better than the tadpoles. I'm not being, I know it's a little funny. I get it. It was meant to be funny. But you just got wet. You went down a wet sinner, came up a wet sinner. Oh, hallelujah. But when you apply the blood of Jesus Christ to your life, Hang on. I know I want to go, but I want to slow down too. How many of you went out to eat today? How many of you use a check card or a credit card? Another several people. So what happened? They took that check card or credit card, and they went and they swiped it for the amount of your bill if they didn't already include the tip. It included that. Still, they went and they swiped it to make sure there was enough money in the account to pay for it.
Yeah.
Bible says in Acts 2:38, let me go back, it's for the remission of your sin. You know what that slip they bring out for you to sign is? A remittance slip.
All right.
You see, they want to make sure there's enough money in there to pay for it.
Uh-huh.
But they legally cannot execute the transaction until you sign your name to it. You see, when I repent of my sins, if I haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, if I repent of my sin, God forgives me. But there's a difference between forgiveness and remission. You see, the sin's still on the book. Oh, Lord Jesus. In the tabernacle, they came, they made the sacrifice, but they still had to go to the brazen laver and wash the stench off of sin. You've repented of your sin, but the stench of sin is still on your life until you get baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Go ahead and come to the music and give them hope. I really am almost done, I promise you. We had a man. I remember, let me think. I can tell you exactly when it was. November of 2015. Brother Boyd had been diagnosed with, my father-in-law had been diagnosed with cancer the previous year, uveal melanoma, and then a year later it metastasized to his lungs, and they were put him in a trial, and it was at the 3-month mark, and they were bringing him in to see what the results was. And I took off that day. It happened to be a Wednesday. We had church that night. And so I went. I took off. I wanted to be there, you know. I was expecting worse, hoping for the best. And so we get to the hospital, and they gave us a good report. And so I went on home, and began to, you know, prepare for that night. And I get a phone call from this guy. His name is Aaron Matthew. He's from the United Arab Emirates. And so I talked to him for a while, and he, hopefully God called me to do a work in this country. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, one of these. But we just kept talking, and we kept talking. Finally, I said, "Won't you come to church now? I'll come pick." He said, "Well, I'm staying in the hotel." I said, "I'll come pick you up." Picked him up. Boy, we discussed oneness versus Trinity and Jesus' name baptism. And, I mean, we went back and forth into the night.
Thursday morning, he sent me a text. He said, I'm not going to come back to your church. I'm going to believe the words of Jesus in Matthew 28, 19. Okay? Then he ends up calling me that night. And we went back and forth. And Star Conference was that weekend. And I was headed down to Star on going to head to Star Friday afternoon for the Friday night service. And, we go back and forth. We go back and forth. We go back and forth. And we got to talking about the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. And he said, well, the Spirit bid him to go. He said, did the Spirit tell you to tell me that? And I said, and it hit me. God cannot separate himself from his Spirit. And I told him that. I said, you need to be. He goes, okay, let's get baptized then. I took him down, or I met him. I said, I'll meet you at the church in about 45 minutes. Filled up that horse trough. Baptized him in Jesus' name. We're on our way back to his hotel. He had to fly out that weekend. And he said something about having the Holy Ghost. I said, you have the Holy Ghost? He said, yeah, I received the Holy Ghost. I said, where? He said, in my home country. I'm thinking, what church? He said, it wasn't at church. He said, I was reading my Bible. And I got to reading about the Holy Ghost. And I said, God, whew, if this is for me, I want it. He said, all of a sudden, something hot hit my head. He said, and then the next thing I know, I'm speaking a language I don't know. God gave him the Holy Ghost, but sent him 8,000 miles for a country preacher to baptize him in Jesus' name. You know what happened? God said, I'm fixing to get my greatest victory in Aaron Matthews' life. He's gonna get baptized in Jesus' name. I've already filled him with the Holy Ghost. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's stand. You two young ladies, how old are y'all? 20. You want me to tell you something? Every time y'all get dressed and come to church and worship him, his greatest victory wasn't in heaven, wasn't in earth, wasn't in hell. It's in you. How old are all you young men? You're 23? How old are you? You know what, young men? Every time y'all come to church and you resist the world and you come here and you worship God until the point you begin to speak in tongues all over again, God gets his greatest victory. Brother Mike and Sister Sarah, every time you get those little babies and you get them ready to come to church and you're running behind. I know what happens. I'm not making fun. I know what happens. They puke up all over the place. You come to church anyway. God gets his greatest victory. Let me ask you this real quick. Any single parents in here? Brother? Every time, sis? Every time. You got a grown one. But regardless, every time y'all get dressed and come on to church and worship God in spite of not having to help me, God gets his greatest victory.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Victory, victory shall be mine. Now that's what the Lord's singing. That's not just our song. That's his song. Because every time he sees you come to church, every time he sees you pray, every time he sees you worship, every time he sees you witness, he gets his greatest victory.
Oh, yes,
hallelujah. Somebody praise him right now.
Hallelujah, we exalt you and magnify you, Lord. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for what you've done in our lives. Thank you, Jesus.
Every time the transgressor comes back.
Uh-huh.
Here I am talking about the backslider again. Brother, I don't want to embarrass you. You told me, how long were you out of church? Come here real quick. Woo! You know what? After 15 years of the devil telling God, I got him! I got him! I got him! God said, you know what? The battle's not over with yet. And ever he caught on all over high. Amen. God gets his greatest victory through you. Somebody need to praise him right now. Somebody needs to give God his greatest victory. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you don't have the Holy Ghost in this place tonight, you need to come forward right now. God will give you the Holy Ghost.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Come on, church.
Hallelujah.
Everybody on board. Everybody on deck.
Oh.
Hallelujah. 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 I'll go a step further. If you've got the Holy Ghost and it's been a little while since you've spoken other tongues, since you've been renewed, you need to come forward and let God renew you and get his greatest victory.
Yes, 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 yes. Jesus. Oh, thank you for your spirit dwelling within us, God. Thank you.
You know what? I think, come on, everybody come. Every, I don't care if you're a member of this church or not. I want everybody to come. Everybody come. Everybody come. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.